Welcome back to another episode of Podcasting in Pinstripes, the official New York Yankees podcast on the Gotham Sports Network. Sam and Steve are here to bring you season 8 of the podcast, Sammy Smooth. 8 years. You were just a baby back then, man. How's it doing?
Sophomore year of high school. Woo-hoo! I was in. It is crazy how much has transpired since we started this. I mean, you've moved twice. You know, a couple of kids for you. Me.
You've moved twice, or at least, yeah, right?
Once from Jersey to Florida, yeah. A year and a half ago, but moved schools when I was in college, going from RCBC in South Jersey to Rutgers. A couple of years passed by, moved down here to Florida. I mean, a lot of life has happened. And one thing that has not changed is Steve and I here a couple times, a few times a month, talking everything Yankees baseball. And we are 1 week out from opening day, and I am psyched. The weather is great here in South Florida. I am outside every day and
living the dream.
Come a week from now, it's going to be Yankees baseball on television or when I'm outside on my walk. I can pull up to happy hour, catch a drink at the end of happy hour, watch the first couple innings, come back, cook. This is the best time of year. Opening day, March Madness, the Masters. We got the NFL draft in a little over a month. It's going to start getting nice in, you know, much spring of the sports. Country come 6-7 weeks. I mean, the vibes are high, Steve.
That's it. That's all we need to do. Yeah. 8 years. And we'll say that last year was probably the worst year of being on the pod with you, just because of what was going on the field. It affected what happened on the pod. It was a poor product all around on the field for the Yankees as they missed the playoffs, and it was just a disaster, which led to a interesting offseason here. Very big splashes in the names of Juan Soto, but then also at times with the Yankees, it felt like that they didn't do enough. The all-in mantra that was told to us didn't seem like it happened, as we see, you know, miss out on Yamamoto, miss out on Blake Snell, who just signed with the Giants. Basically tell no to Blake Snell. Jordan Montgomery still sitting out there. You know, it's how give me a quick feel of what you feel like the offseason was in what was probably the most tense offseason for fans in you know, our generation.
Well, first off, the Yankees acquired one of the 3 or 5 best players in the game in Juan Soto.
A Hall of Famer before turning 25.
He was mentioned by both of us going into the offseason in our final episode. You mentioned Luis Robert. I mentioned Juan Soto is a player that we wanted added to the Yankees. There's not enough to say about this guy. He is tailor-made for Yankee Stadium, and I hope he is wearing navy blue pinstripes in the Bronx for the next 13, 15 years.
Sam, number 22 is going to be retired in Monument Park because of Juan Soto. That's where I feel that. He hasn't even played an official game yet, but that's what needs to happen when you acquire a player of this caliber. We have him all season, and yes, there'll be another offseason of breaking our hearts and, you know, living and dying with every tweet here. But for 2024, Juan Soto is a Yankee, and that is the best news of any offseason that we've had since the Gerrit Cole signing.
The only thing I wish is that there was a contract announcement for 15 years and $540 million.
Who gives a shit?
I give him whatever he wants, because, you know, Steve Cohen and the Mets across town are going to be players. I want this guy in pinstripes forever. My lean is he's going to be. I don't want to mush that. I think he's going to be. They're going to get something done. But other than that, other than Soto, like you said,
other than the best player in baseball the past 6 years, what else did we do, Sam? What else?
Like you said, missing out on Yamamoto. It really seemed like he wanted to be a Dodger from the beginning. The Philadelphia Phillies reportedly offered the most money out of every one of the teams, and he chose to go out to Los Angeles. The Yankees getting Marcus Stroman to kind of fill that middle of the rotation void. If he produces and there's not Twitter fingers after a bad start or two, I'm fine with it. I have my own opinions of him. I think he's acted like a total clown in the past, but if there's none of that, and he fills that middle of the rotation void, I'm fine. The biggest news perhaps happened in the final week or two of spring training with Garrett Cole supposed to miss 10 to 12 weeks. It's been a roller coaster of a ride. I think it goes without saying the offense is going to be much improved. I think they are going to get close to 1,000 runs this season.
Yeah.
And they're going to flirt with that number. But again, Steve, tale as old as time, is the pitching going to hold up?
Exactly. So before we get into the fun of the hitting, let's stick with the pitching here. And see what we can do, a little preview for what might come. You mentioned Stroman here first, so I'm going to stick with him first. Very surprised that signing happened, given kind of some of the internet comments by both the Yankee side and Stroman over the years. Very glad that they were able to work it out and make a deal here, or a reasonable deal for Stroman. And, you know, this move seemed like it was a pivot after talking with Blake Snell for a while and reportingly offering Blake Snell a very high contract of $150 million and him saying no. And Jordan Montgomery kind of saying that he wasn't looking forward to a return in the Bronx. The Yankees acted quickly, pivoted with Stroman, and locked him in for the next couple years here. As early as days with Toronto, I was a big fan of him. And then this kind of, you know, the move to the Mets, there's kind of a shade thrown at the Yankees. And then the struggle with the Mets, he sat out during COVID. But bounce back. He had a very good first half of 2023. Really struggled with some injuries in the second half. But we're looking at a guy who was an all-star. He's going to be 33 here. And to my surprise, and to I think a lot of people's surprise, his attitude about being a Yankee has changed his fan base. This guy has proven from the moment he signed that contract that he is pumped to be in the Bronx, pumped to be in that mound, and ready to showcase what he's got. Because as we've seen throughout the years, like, this is his 10th year in baseball. When he's healthy and he's got his stuff working, he's a very good pitcher. He's a very good pitcher. Two-time All-Star. He won a Gold Glove even back in the day in 2017. So he's going to be, you know, mid-3 ERA. Like you said, if he sits around, you know, a middle-of-the-rotation guy, that's all the Yankees can hope for, and that's what they paid for. But that leads to the second pitcher you mentioned in Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole injury scares the living crap out of me. And it makes signings like Marcus Stroman so much more vital to any success this team is going
to
have.
And they've even reached out to Montgomery, according to John Heyman, that came out on Wednesday again. So.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't think anything's going to come of that. But
I agree.
It's the Yankees are typically, when they're locked into their roster, when injuries happen, they're you know, their phrase, you know, we're comfortable with who we got. You know, we're glad with who we got, as him and Boone like to say here. But an absolute shell shocker of a drop that Garrett Cole needs an MRI. And I immediately tweeted, I was like, oh, he needs Tommy John. There's no other way possible. And so I guess we're looking at positivity here. He doesn't need Tommy John yet. And he's hopefully going to come back soon-ish. But boy, that might be the worst tweet of all time the Yankee fans need to see. After getting players like Juan Soto and reestablishing their lineup, Garrett Cole will miss opening day and 12 weeks tentative timeline. Are you happy with Cole if he's back by 4th of July? If he's back by the trade deadline? Is he back at all?
I would sign for 4th of July at this point.
Yeah, I think that's best case scenario.
I still think there's a chance that he tries to come back and he needs surgery. The pessimist. Oh,
50-50.
And that, if you push that back to like July, I mean, that knocks him out basically for all of next season too. If you're talking July rather than getting the surgery now, not that surgery was presented to him, I don't believe, but
several doctors said no.
If he got somehow needed surgery now, you would have hope for him by All-Star break or trade deadline of 2025.
And I think that's the right move to it doesn't seem like it was even on the table, so that's great. But when we're talking about a player like Juan Soto technically on a one-year contract here, you need to do everything you can to make 2024 the year. And you worry about Garrett Cole for the next 6 years or, you know, 8 years, whatever he's got left on him here. You worry about that later on, and you make sure that if there's a chance you can get Garrett Cole in 2024, you go down that path. Look, his velocity was okay. That's like the first sign ever is, hey, my velo is down. His velocity was good. I'll take that. He just said it was more of like he was, you know, already in the dog days of summer instead of being in spring training. Gerrit Cole's the most intense pitcher the Yankees have had in a long, long time. He's probably pumped as we are that Yankees have Juan Soto and have World Series aspirations. It sounds like he came to spring training like it was pitching Game 7 of the World Series and just got too quick on it. So that's going to cost him 2 to 3 months. And that's that. You know, that's baseball.
It's just not going to feel right without him in the rotation to start things. Nestor Cortez is obviously starting Thursday in Houston for the Yankees against the Astros. You know, Carlos Rodon and Marcus
huge
Stroman
player we got to talk
gonna
about
are going to be at the top of the rotation as well. And then you know you have guys like Clark Schmidt towards the end that are really going to have to step up. When you're talking about pitching for the Yankees, especially with the Cole injury, you said, you know, a huge guy right now is Carlos Rodon, and he saved one of his best starts. He saved his best start for the spring. I think I'll have one more maybe, but for last, 5 scoreless innings against the Phillies on
five
on
no
Monday.
Hit innings. No, he looked great. He looked good.
4 starts, sub-3 ERA. He's
strikeouts
really
are up. Fastball looks a little liver than it did last year. I mean, look, this is a guy that had one of the worst starts in recorded history to end the season for the Yankees, and then he yelled at Mac Blake coming off the mound. It could not have been a worse opening season for Carlos Rodon in pinstripes. And we were you know, at the time that he was signing, we were pumped. The Yankees, that was their kind of all-in move last year. Like, all right. We signed Judge, and then we got Rodon, and he was terrible. And so he was a problem going into this offseason. And hopefully it appears it could be a similar situation that we had with Cole. Like he was off from the moment he got to spring training last year. Didn't even come out of spring training healthy, and was never able to figure it out. Really tough to give a guy with that many injuries in his past the benefit of the doubt here. But that's kind of what he does. If he's injured, he sucks. If he's healthy, he's a Cy Young worthy pitcher. Right now, he looks healthy, and the Yankees need that. I think he goes into the season as the Yankees' number 3 starter behind Nestor and Stroman, with the potential to be number 1 by the time Cole comes back.
I think that's a great prediction you just made there, Steve. And I think the biggest difference for him this year is going to be having that full spring training, or he basically already has. There's you know, a few games.
Survive the next 7
there.
Days, please.
So, you know, a full spring training, getting the Kim in and prepare for the season rather than kind of being thrown to the wolves in July of last year. I know he had a couple rehab starts, but in terms of preparing and getting ready for the season, it's a totally different animal for him this year. And I think it's really going to benefit him coming out of the gates here in April, and he's going to have to face a potent offense in the Houston Astros next weekend.
But
the starting pitching just as a whole, he's going to really need to be the guy the Yankees paid for or something close to it, because with Cole out, if one of these 3 vets between Cortez, Rodon and Stroman struggle or dare I say flop in the early part of the season.
Whew. Sam, don't give me those bad juju vibes right now.
That's the with the Cole injury. I mean,
it is. It makes the margin of error for anyone else in this rotation is tripled, because you don't have that Cole day. You don't have the Cole train coming in. You know, that first month of the year, you know, mowing people. First 2 months of the year, 3 months of the year, mowing down people. It's going to need to be sharp from the get-go, which is like you said. Look, Rodon, look, he was so bad last year. If he's 60% of what he was last year, that's an improvement. If Stroman is what he was the first half before having that hip injury, awesome. And Nestor, you know, to round up the bigger guys in the rotation, Nestor was bad last year as well. He, you know, he struggles from the get-go going deep in games. That's going to be something I want to watch for him is, you know, how does he do third time through that lineup? Because given that we don't have the depth at starting pitcher, we're not going to have that luxury of, hey, 4 2/3 of good Nestor is awesome. No, it needs to be 6 2/3. We need an extra 2/3 from Nestor Cortez every game compared to last year. So huge, huge, huge factors for the rotation. Rotation rounds up quickly with Clark Schmidt. You know, Clark is Clark. be a number four guy. If he's better than that, awesome. But, you know, I think, you know, he had a couple stretches last year of really good, a couple stretches of really bad. That's what you're going to get for a back end of the rotation guy. That is essentially what Clark Schmidt is. The fifth spot, still up for grabs. Couple options here. You know, Luis Gil is back looking great. Clayton Beter, you know, the Joey Gallo man is looking very well. You know, Will Warren, whose names was popped in all over trade talks, is there. And then a couple other journey guys fighting for that fifth spot. You know, Luke Weaver being one. It's going to be interesting to see what the Yankees do. I am going to guess here that they go with one of the young guys. Maybe a Will Warren or Beter in that fifth spot. So I'm going to give the to Warren right now because of the Cole injury. I think if it, you know, they know it's going to be an extended period. They know that whoever's this fifth guy is going to get, what, 6 to 8 starts minimum. So let's give it to one of these young guys and see what they can do. They don't have to worry about being flopped back to AAA, you know, after every start here. Luis Gil has looked phenomenal in spring training, but he's coming off Tommy John, and Boone already said he's probably at 100 inning max. So I don't think we're going to burn 50 of those innings while Gerrit Cole is out. So I think, you know, Will Warren could, even though he doesn't have the greatest numbers in spring training, the Yankees like him. I think he gets the first crack at number five over someone like a Luke Weaver. I hope.
I would like to go with one of the young guys too, and not to change the subject entirely from number five, but you mentioned him, Luis Gil.
Oh,
he is up at 100 miles an hour right now.
If he wasn't coming off Tommy John, I think he's our number three starter.
He has impressed me quite a bit. Just really, really electric stuff from him. But I think they're going to go with one of the young guys as well. You know, like Randy Vasquez last year, they gave him some run at the back end of the rotation when Rodon was hurt at the beginning of the year. The only question is, how much are they going to give you in their starts? Because, like you said, Nestor is already struggling to pitch deep in the games. You know, when we get to that sixth inning is really when you start looking at him. You're going to need your starters to eat innings. And one of these young guys is going to need the bullpen behind him. They're not going to let him.
Whoever they pick, you're right.
Throw a lot.
Whoever they pick is probably not going deep into it, and it's definitely not going to be healed. I mean, look, they did it a few times last year. Like, what are your thoughts about possibly doing what we did with guys like Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito of, hey, all right, heal, you get 2 innings as an opener, and then Warren gets the next 3, and that gets you 5 innings. You know, something like that. That's what we did. That really changed around what we thought about Brito towards the end of the year. And then he became pretty, you know, decently valuable in a Juan Soto trade. So I think that worked out. So maybe I wonder if that's maybe a route the Yankees go as well with these guys. Cause look, Luis Gil popping out 2 innings of straight 98 gas. I want to see that. I don't want him sitting in AAA. I know they want to stretch him out a little bit here, but I'm fine with giving him 2 or 3 innings here. Then, you know, having, you know, Warren come in or something. But I feel like if they go, you know, that route, we kind of get into the boring states of, you know, we're going to see Luke Weaver pitch a lot. We're going to see, what's his name, Cody Pokey pitch a little bit here. But the fifth star is going to be interesting. There's opportunity, as, you know, what Boone was talking about on Talking Yanks this week is like, there's guy. It's not set. There's 4 or 5 guys there, and there's opportunity to force your way into a decision here. And that's what we like to see from young guys.
Yeah, and it's they're gonna have to step up just as everyone. I mean, Gerrit Cole is such a massive loss for this period of time, and you just have to hope he can come back healthy because there's a lot being asked of many pitchers on the Yankees staff right now, and that inevitably leads into the bullpen. Like I said, with the starters like Nestor, you know, Clark, whoever they start at 5. Rodon and Stroman have proven to be innings eaters throughout their career. You can't really say that for anybody else in the Yankees rotation. So yep. The Yankees bullpen always seems to come through. I mean, Boone manages it very, very well. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens there because yep.
Right, I think we'll now see some new names in the bullpen too. We've had, you know, I think Tommy Kaelin starting on the IL. just because he's just getting a little slow ramped up. You know, Scott Efros had back surgery on top of his Tommy John, so he's not there. You know, Ron Marinaccio just kind of hasn't rekindled that early blip there. So I think we're going to see some names in the bullpen that I need to get more familiar with, to be honest with you.
And I'm surprised they didn't add there.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's what the Yankees do, though. Like, look, going into the year, you know, we didn't know who Ian Hamilton was going into last year. You know, so every year they find someone. So the Yankees are going to find someone. And there's a couple guys that have done well in the bullpen. You know, Nick Birdie has kind of been one of those names that's popped up and just mowing down hitters in his thing. So the Yankees are going to find a couple bullpen guys that are going to do it. You know, Victor Gonzalez seems like the guy that's replaced everyday Wandy out there. So the bullpen, I think we could focus on, you know, maybe the first few episodes when we start seeing how Boone's using it right now. Because you never really know with the volatility of Major League Baseball bullpens. I think we know that Clay Holmes is going to be the closer. And Jonathan Loaisiga hopefully can stay healthy and is going to strike out a ton of people. So the bullpen, we'll figure it out. And hopefully that team, that bullpen, is pitching with a lead. Because you mentioned it in your little opening monologue there. This team's going to score some runs. And it could be a shocking amount of runs compared to last year's team. The Bronx Bombers hopefully are back. And that is just, looking at this lineup every day, it is just remarkable what it could be. Could be, as always, because the Yankees' health. But just top to bottom, it's a nice little reward that I'm hoping just lights it off. We're recording this right after Giancarlo Stanton hit three fucking bombs in four innings in spring training here. So maybe we'll start with him. Absolute moonshots if you saw them today. Just old Stanton style, Stantonian rockets. Looks thinner coming in spring training here. Says he changed up his swing. But you don't really see it too much, to be honest, if you're watching his spring training at bats. But overall, the Yankees hands down need Giancarlo Stanton to not be Joey Gallo in pinstripes and be competent at least at the plate for this team to have a chance.
We both have said it. We're huge fans of Stanton. And what I love about him the most is that he tries and he takes accountability.
It's been a lot of years of accountability, though.
I know. When you look back, though, the clutch hits that he's had, especially in 2021, this has to be the year that it clicks for him. Is it going to be at age 34? I don't know. He's had a couple of
good years. He's not an MVP candidate anymore. We don't need that. We just need Stanton to be a back end of the middle lineup, you know, 5-6 guy that can put the ball in play and will hopefully hit 30 home runs. Like, we're not asking too much here. Just don't give me that shit last year.
I agree. And when you look at his contract,
no, thank you.
$325 million over 13 years. He's making $25 million a year. That's not too outlandish with what's being handed out now. I know it's a lot of money, but the Yankees are stuck with him for quite a bit. I'm looking up right now his contract.
I don't care what his contract is. If you're hitting 191 with a, you know, getting on base under 300, you know, under 30%, and you're not playing the field, you know, that to me is a contract of someone who might get DFA'd. You know, that if you can't have him out there 100 games just eating up at bats when you have a lineup that potentially has replacements to do better. You know, an OPS of 87 is not going to cut it. Giancarlo Stanton has to have an OPS over 100. And he's had that every year in his career, which makes sense because he's a very good career. But you need to somehow pray that at age 33, this was a blip and not the new norm. Because as we, you know, it's
he couldn't move last year. He could not move.
No, couldn't move.
I forget what game it was. But it was a ball hit pretty deep to center or right field, a single. The outfield was playing back, no doubles, and anybody would have scored on this hit. And he was out.
He was on a casual stroll in the cul-de-sac.
I could not. He cannot be like that this season. I mean, legitimately could not move.
And it's crazy because he every spring training, this guy is a physical specimen to look at. This guy should have it all there, and it's every year it's something stupid that comes in and just ruins the fun. But after tonight, with the three home runs, he's batting .314 in spring training, and look at spring training stats, it is what it is. But 11 hits, 4 home runs, 5 strikeouts in 12 games. I mean, if I'm seeing those strikeout numbers down a little bit from Stan, I'm okay with that. On base percentage of .360, and I know the 3 home run game kind of skews all these numbers here, but how do you not get positive? How do you not get positive about this, Sam? You have to. It's just because by choice, because of that contract, and because we're the Yankees, and because we're Sam and Steve.
3 more years after this one, through 2027.
Yeah, it's something to worry about here, but I'm glad we're recording this after he hit the ball to Mars versus him going 0-for-4 in a spring training game. So we'll see, because he's going to be there. He's going to be batting up, you know, after Judge, after Soto. These guys get on base. Stanton needs to put the ball in play into the outfield. And even sack flies most of the time, fine. It's awesome. It just can't take with ground balls to second with the easiest double play because he can't get out of the box. That's a hope the Yankees have, along with the hope that Anthony Rizzo's concussion is over. And boy, does it sure seem like it, given this spring training. It's easy to forget how amazing of a first half Rizzo was having last year before that concussion, which led to him being a bottom five hitter in baseball for 2 months and the Yankees finally shutting him down. Having Rizzo perform again behind Soto and Judge in that lineup in a contract year technically for Rizzo, this is a massive year for the Italian Stallion at first base.
And like you said, I hope to God those concussion symptoms are totally gone, because you just mentioned that he's having a great spring, and that was one of the most bizarre storylines in a season full of bizarre storylines last year. You know, you had the Domingo Germán perfect game. You had, you know, Germán getting so drunk showing up to work that the Yankees put him in a sauna. And then you had Rizzo being one of the best hitters in baseball, a guy who was going to hit over 300, I think, with the banning of the shift. We highlighted that a lot early last year.
Sam, can I give you his stats before the injury? 304, 376 with a slugging percentage of .505. 11 home runs, 32 RBIs, 18 walks in 53 games. Yankees were 10 games over .500. The guy was putting the ball all over the field, 62 hits in 53 games.
62 hits in 53 games.
That guy, and then he got his head rattled and disappeared. So,
and the Yankees still let him play for...
He played another 52 games after that.
And was one of the worst players in baseball.
His average went from .304 down to .244. His power disappeared, and it's... He says it now too. And look, I give him credit too. He's a guy, he's like, hey, I'm an athlete. I need to notice that there's something wrong. He's like, but there was, looking back on it, he's like, there was something obviously wrong there. And that's the biggest part. It's like, hey, now that he kind of knows that and can feel that, him coming into spring training and be like, yeah, I'm good. I can see the ball again. It is massive for, you know, someone that is about to be 35 years old. So, you know, it's the kind of same age as Stanton. But unlike Stanton, as you said, he's under contract for the next 3 years. He's got a team option for next year. And Anthony Rizzo doesn't want to be done playing baseball. He wants to have a big year and force the Yankees to pick up that $17 million option, I think it is. And that is great news for the Yankees, because him having Soto, Judge, Rizzo, and Rizzo playing 90% of what he was the first half of last year could be the best 1-2, you know, that best 2-3-4 in baseball.
Yeah, 13 for 30 this spring, 2 home runs. That comes out to batting .433, .541, .700. I mean, just ridiculous numbers.
He doesn't need to hit the home runs. Like, I mean, he will at Yankee Stadium because it's Yankee Stadium. But if he's on, if you know, look, how there's going to be so many times this year where Soto and Judge are going to go back-to-back walk. I don't even care what the leadoff man does. It could be out, back-to-back walks, and Rizzo's sitting up there with two ducks on the pond, and he's just got to poke one, you know, through that new hole, like you said, the shift being gone now, and he's got 1-0 Yankees. Like, that's it. His job should be one of the easiest jobs for him as a four-hole hitter and he's got to be salivating at the idea of this, of just people always being on base. It's going to be funny to see how many times, obviously he gets, you know, 500-600 at-bats, how many times he's up with no one on base when Judge and Soto are playing.
It's not going to be very many, especially if you have DJ LeMahieu at the top of the lineup as well. This is going to be fascinating because the one thing I harped on a lot last year, and I know Rizzo was out, was that the Yankees kind of abandoned the left-handed hitter. I mean, aside from Soto, when was the last time there was a dominant left-handed hitter in the lineup? You got to go back to Cano.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And rocking the same number.
Crazy. I mean, for that long, for the Yankees to not have a left-handed hitter. And like you said, with, you know, Judge and Soto being righty-lefty, Rizzo lefty, Stanton righty, there are so many possibilities here. And like you said, Judge and Stanton going, or Judge and Soto going walk-walk is going to happen quite a bit. And sticking with the offense here, the addition of Alex Verdugo was something I really liked a lot. I know there was some stuff in Boston that rubbed some people the wrong way, but
he was a Red Sox.
with Soto being in left field and Verdugo being in right field, the Yankees left fielders had historically low production from, I believe it was the COVID season all the way through last year. So we're talking 4 years of historically low production. Soto there obviously changes things, but getting another outfielder in Alex Verdugo and the Yankees having two new bats, both lefties in the lineup. And then you're going to have Austin Wells behind the plate too, and another lefty. This is all really, really good stuff. And the Yankees, a full season of Wells behind the plate along with these two guys, they made substantial improvements to their offense. I mean, this was an A++ offseason on that side of the diamond.
But Sam, we had Frenchy Cordero started opening day, or whatever, the day after opening day, whatever the hell it was. Like, these are, we had, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera still with the team, still young. Aaron Hicks, Billy McKinney, Esteban Florial, Frenchy Cordero, Greg Allen, Jake Bowers, not an outfielder, playing the outfield. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, not an outfielder, playing the outfield. Willie Calhoun. Those are guys that are not in baseball anymore. And they were playing every day. I mean, obviously, yeah, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is still in baseball. Aaron Hicks is with the Angels, so basically not in baseball. But we had a significant amount of our starters aren't baseball players. And we replaced that with Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo. And Verdugo is what he is, but another guy, contract year, lefty, Yankee Stadium, like massive, massive upgrades.
He hit some lasers there with the Red Sox.
And easy, but he's a great contact hitter. We went from having Aaron Hicks, you know, and freaking Greg Allen to a contact hitter under the age of 30 in a contract year. Like, hello? Like, can you think the changes in what we can see from outfield production is insane. So it's you look at this lineup and you have to be excited, and then, you know, then you remember Garrett Cole's hurt, so you tone it down a little bit. But it's gonna be fun. Like I said, big names in the veteran depth, and then we can kind of wrap it up with the young kids. You mentioned Austin Wells. I would love to see him get 50-50 split with Trevino. He's working really well behind the plate, and he's got lefty pop, and catching pop is awesome. And then at the bottom of the order, you're gonna have Anthony Volpe, who won a Gold Glove, hit 20 home runs, and
having a great spring.
We would say basically going to guarantee, I think, have a better rookie year. He struggled significantly at the plate. We had the whole chicken parm thing. I got a T-shirt for it. It's awesome. I'm going to wear it all summer long. But we got to forget this guy that skipped AAA and went straight to the Yankees in a team that who turned out one of the worst seasons in the past 30 years. He's got to feel more comfortable at shortstop. He's got to feel more comfortable at the plate in Major League Baseball. This is what we thought his rookie year would be. And he's already got a whole season under his belt, expecting big things, good defense. And I'd like to see him, like you said, take away the home runs, level that swing out just a little bit here, be a nine guy in the order, steal 40 bags, hit 15 home runs. I'd go bananas for that. I'd go chicken parm for that all day.
Gold Glover in his rookie year, you know, hitting, leading the team in hits this spring. I'm expecting very big things. You emphasized the stolen bases last year. He got a little bit less aggressive on the base paths.
I think it came with the confidence of not hitting. So I think if he's going to be more confident overall on the field with the helmet on versus a glove in his hand, I think we'll see him steal.
That's what I want to see as well.
Bat 230. He hit 209, 21 home runs, and went through terrible stretches. Bat 230, hit 15 home runs. Massive win. Get on base 30% of the time. He was 283 last year. How could you not be excited for a kid that, you know, turns 23, you know, the first month of the season here for the Yankees? This is your shortstop of the future. Peraza, you know, going down the tube is in one of the classic Clint Frazier and Miguel Cabrera paths. Hopefully not. Get well, kid. But Anthony Volpe, not down that path. Del Barton, boy, is going to be putting up a big year at shortstop. And the Yankees, with a good shortstop, win games. We've seen it for a long time, Sam. We grew up in it. And then that's how we're going to figure it out. Let this pitching heal, and let's score runs. Take the Yankees team over every game. Forget 162 and 162. I'm just taking the Yankees team over every game.
Steve, please tell me we're doing that this year again.
I mean, I'm going to bet it anyway, so. we will have to see. We'll have to see. But, yeah, I mean, probably. We'll be guaranteeing to have at least 100 bets on the Yankees this year anyway. So we'll definitely put it out there to the world to watch the misery of it all. And, of course, the worst season of all time that the Yankees have is when I decide to try and bet them all the time.
Steve, what are you? Couple predictions before we go. AL MVP, NL MVP, and let's go World Series too.
Yeah, that MVPs. It's Juan Soto. I'm gonna take Juan Soto for the 2023 season. I think it is a perfect fit, as you said, for him in the Yankees in the two hole. Aaron Judge hitting behind him. It's just I have faith in Judge to possibly put up an MVP season as well. But I think that the fact this guy plays every day. Judge, I love you to death. I understand you're probably going to go on the IL. Yeah, you gave us a scare already in spring training. Thank God he played today. Juan Soto is just a dominant player, and we just put him in pinstripes, and he's having a blast in spring training. I think that's a recipe for success for AL MVP, and I've already bet it, to be honest.
I'm right there with you, Steve. Perfect fit, everything. You name it, this guy has it. And he's going to be playing in the best ballpark he could be for someone like him. Contract year. Hopefully he's going nowhere. The list goes on. Juan Soto is my AL MVP. For the National League, I am going to pull a bit of a surprise. I'm going to go with Trey Turner of the Philadelphia Phillies. This is a guy who had a very big second half of the season last year, most notably after the standing ovation.
That is off the beaten path. I like it.
I really think he's gonna do well. Bryce Harper, there's already some concern about his back.
He's first baseman all time now.
If Harper has a stint on the IL, Trey Turner, when he gets hot, he does everything from the hitting to the stolen bases. And I'm going to save my prediction for the World Series until after you give me this. But you're not going to be surprised when you hear my
I wonder what it could be. For the NL, how about the guy that lost Juan Soto in his lineup here? Let's go with Fernando Tatis Jr. All-around electric player. I think it's going to be very popular that you see Mookie Betts, even maybe Shohei Ohtani playing DH here, but that's a case where they might be splitting votes. Mookie Betts is a full-time shortstop. Who the hell knew that? And Ronald Acuna, obviously after a monster year he put up last year, it would make sense for him to pull a back-to-back here. But he tweaked his knee a little bit already in spring training, so that there might be some caution to him. But for me, you know, Tatis has the big PED suspension on it and didn't play at all in 2022. But he came back strong in 2023, and I think it's an opportunity for him. You know, with still a good lineup, even without Juan Soto. You forget they still have Manny Machado and you know Xander Bogaerts here. It seems like they've made it pretty clear that Tatis is the future for them with the trade of Juan Soto. He already is locked in long term. I think he's going to be pretty comfortable at the plate here. He steals a ton of bases as well. So going with Fernando Tatis as NL MVP. And then it's going to go with the classics here. It's going to be Yankees-Dodgers. Yankees are going to tell Shohei Ohtani, who we're going to get it to in a second before we sign off, because what's dropping as we're recording this is intriguing as fuck. But Yankees-Dodgers. Yankees-Dodgers World Series. Yankees close it out. Garrett Cole comes back healthy in the second half and closes it down in game six in the Bronx. That's what I'm doing. Sticking to it. We've been looking for Yankees-Dodgers for five straight years now. It needs to happen.
Steve, I'm going Yankees over Phillies. That would be a very, very stressful World Series for the both of us.
Indeed it would be.
I think the Phillies, after choking to the Diamondbacks last year, are come back with a chip on their shoulder, and they have experience beating the Braves in the postseason. The Dodgers, their postseason track record, I personally think it's going to be Glasnow or Yamamoto imploding in an NLDS Game 5 at Dodger Stadium. I like the Yankees over Phillies in 6. Cole shuts down the Phillies in Game 6. But
love it. And if Cole gets shut down, this podcast might get shut down, because we may not survive another year of no playoffs for Yankees baseball here. But it's a good lineup. The rotation is scary. It's a good division. We haven't really talked about the division. We could hit that up next week. But it's a strong division with the Orioles, Blue Jays, and Rays. The Red Sox are doing – they're basically a soccer team now in Boston. so we can hit on the rest of that kind of as we go around into the first few weeks of the year. But, yeah, shocking. For the eighth year in a row, Sam and Steve have the Yankees winning the World Series. And who would have thought that on it all? Sam, quickly, before we jump off, kind of literally as we're going live here today, a lot of reports about Ohtani and his interpreter, who's been fired from the Dodgers due to a massive gambling debt. This is a strange story. There was a lot of back and forth of whether Ohtani maybe knew about this. $4.5 million transferred from Ohtani's bank account to a bookie. Technically still unknown whether Ohtani had knowledge of this, but this is a horrible story for Major League Baseball. As less than 24 hours when the Dodgers are in Korea versus the Padres, opening up the season in Ohtani's first game in Dodger Blue. This is crazy. This is a big story.
The timing of it is crazy.
Like, this is a big story. This, I don't think, gets swept under the rug, even though Ohtani has basically become the face, the worldwide face of baseball, as he should be. But this is strange. And I'm reading kind of a timeline that Dallas Braden just sent out. Ohtani's rep goes on record with ESPN saying that Ohtani paid the bookie himself. That gets redacted, and now they're saying that the interpreter is lying, and it's considered massive theft, and the interpreter says Ohtani had no knowledge. This is a crazy story. When I was up at 6 a.m. with my boys watching baseball, and you can see the interpreter in the dugout. This is a weird story to happen right after opening day in Korea, where they're buddy-buddy. And this is something to keep an eye on as the year goes on, because as both of us have a gambling vice here, this is a story that I think we kind of may have seen coming around sports, that a big time athlete gets caught in the gambling ring. And I would have had Ohtani dead last on that list.
Yeah.
Dead last. This could break baseball.
I'm very excited or intrigued to see what happens.
Sam's pumped. He's excited.
I wonder the questions he's going to have to face tomorrow when he speaks to the media. after the game.
Yeah. Look, we don't know anything. There should be a lot of more discussion about this, but I'm going to be frank. I'm still Steve, but I'm going to be frank. This seems fishy. This seems like something is missing from this story. And hopefully the Passans of the world, the Athletic of the world, starts diving into it and doesn't let this go, because this could be a problem. Well,
I'm with you. It seems fishy. And the next time we talk, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here.
Yeah. And look, I mean, there's also that story earlier this week about, you know, the union wanting to change reps, you know, Tony Clark's job in jeopardy. These are two interesting stories involving the players off the field on what is supposed to be a historic opening weekend for baseball worldwide. This is the opposite of Ron Manfred. You could not have dreamed up a worse case for baseball here. So we'll follow the Ohtani story as it comes out and see if it could be as simple as an interpreter just spending a ton of money and being one of us. But that's, well, we'll have to check in. You have to come back next week to find out what we think about it, because there's going to be some more to this. Sam, it's a pleasure and a half to connect with you for an hour and talk baseball. And
I'm thrilled that this is back, Steve. And it's going to be a lot better than last season.
That's it. That's all we need to know. Etch it in stone. Yankees started out hot. Thank God the Yankees don't play at Dodger Stadium this year. That's how we'll end it.
Oh my fucking God, that concrete slab.
Maybe Ohtani bet on that. Who knows? All right, guys. Thanks for listening to an episode of Podcast and In Pinstripes with Sam and Steve. Check us out on wherever you can find your podcasts or wherever Sam posted these days. You can find Sam on Twitter at @real_SamMars, and you can find me at @AngelSteve89. We always appreciate the feedback, and we'll see you guys next week.
Go Yanks!